Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, better late than never. We hear people. They can do what they do. I think the world just didn't
Thank
want
you.
To see that Atlanta Falcons hat on Andre.
The world is always ready to see the Atlanta Falcons at. Shut it, Rob Ford. That's what we do.
Oh, man.
That was painful for a quick second, man. I was exposed. I was out there by myself. It was going
to
be tough.
Hey,
man. Man,
we
were
trying to get on there with
CQ.
You.
Yes, man. I was ready, man. I had it on my little... Mixstream Pro, I was ready to, like, get it going. And, yeah, but, man. Sorry, Gary. Man, the world's going to miss us going live, but that's okay. We'll get a chance to come back strong next week. Maybe we'll do a test or something like that. So we've got to have a little more time to kind of go in there and make sure you guys can see it and all that fun stuff, too. Because whenever I was looking it up, they were like, hey, you can invite your people. You can do a test video. I'm like, gee, this is amazing. And I'm pretty sure I can follow instructions, so I was like, oh, we got this. So there you go. But it is what it is. JQ, you joining us for the Zoom? Or no, we got too much stuff happening over there for you.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get on there. I'm getting on my computer right now.
No, I appreciate that. You got a lot of things happening for sure, man. So it's all good. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, Doc. Ready to make this thing. Ready to make this This thing happened tonight, man. Got some asparagus in me tonight. We ready to do it.
Oh, God.
This guy. We knew asparagus was going to come in one way or the other. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Well, I'll be feeling better if my reds didn't suck right now. But, you know, I'm going to take the fact that before the season started, I wouldn't even think I was talking about the reds in August. So I'm just going to take that as a win. It was good while it lasted.
Where did the Cubs come from out of nowhere? I know they lost tonight.
Yeah, they got hot. They got hot like how the Reds got hot last month. So I think it's over. They didn't do anything at the trade deadline to help that bullpen, and it's killing us. So cheap ass owners. What can you do?
We're gonna talk about that too, man. I was looking at the topics, Rob. We're talking about the worth
Probably
of
we
the
got
NFL
about
franchises,
team.
That was pretty interesting. Yeah, so we got a lot of things to jump into, too, man. Go ahead, Rob. What were you saying? What were you saying, Rob? Were you saying something that I missed you, that I cut you off?
I said that's why we got to buy the team.
Yeah, that was my fault. So cheap.
JQ, we got about $4 billion. We can buy the Bengals, man. We can make that work. Let's go.
I wrote about the Reds.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Bengals going to spend the money, huh?
Yeah, they are now. I mean, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, baseball is my second love behind football, but it's not that far behind it. I would love to be able to buy them and bring them back to big Red Machine glory days. I would love nothing more than to get a good owner in there. So if I could do that, I would definitely buy the Reds first.
There it is. Goals, team, goals. Hey, I'm really quickly ready to get this party started here on another awesome edition Talking Sports with the 12th man. Your boy is in the middle of anniversary week, so shout out to my lovely significant other, Miss Marcy. 28
Marcy,
years
happy anniversary.
Saturday, my guys. Yeah, man. So we're going to have some fun, and we are going to hang out. We're going on a little trip here, and we'll do our world tour a little bit later too. So this is a crazy month. I know JQ, your birthday is, you know, coming up. Is it tomorrow? When is it? It's from Thursday. When's your birthday? Is it coming up as well?
It's Friday.
That's right. Okay. Friday. Okay, man. Right
happy
before
early
that,
birthday,
okay,
bro.
Easily remember that, man. On the 11th, man, my mom's birthday is the 19th. Marcy's birthday is the 18th.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yeah, it's just a week behind me, and you know, if you play roulette, that 8 and 11 is black, baby. It's sitting right next to each other on that roulette table. So it's the best way to remember it. I always bet on.
Nah, if I remember the anniversary, I should definitely remember your birthday. Because I'm like, man, you're like a day before ours, man. So it's all good, man. So good stuff, man. Her brother's birthday is August 12th, man. We got like a lot of things happening, so it's all good. Hey, really, really quickly, we're gonna
light on the
Bruce. I know,
JQ.
Shit, we're going to go all the way in, baby. Woo!
You deserve that, man. Get your birthday drink on, man. I'm the number if you want to reach out to us.
Erica can't stop you. Rob. She can only hope to contain you, right?
She can only hope to contain me. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
I don't know what to do, man. Oh. Topics, numbers, what do you want? What do you want me to do, man? How we doing this, man? We got
all love it.
Man. What do you want to do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All
normal routine, bro.
Let's move it, man. Here we go. Let's really quickly, I'm going to throw the numbers out. The same number, always to call the 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, PHMAN Sports. And even though we had a tough go on Facebook Live, we are on Facebook. We've got Talking Sports, 12th Man and 12th Man Sports. You will find us in that arena as well. So without further ado, we got a lot of good topics to jump into, even though we are minus Gary. But it's all good. Let's talk about Chase Young here. And again, I know, you know, being in the same division as Cowboys, I know I can hear, you know, JQ, I can hear Gary talking ish already, but the word in the street is that Chase Young is throwing explosive.
That's why
you
can't do his appearance tonight. This season, Gary. This season.
Rob said that, Gary. It's all good. But talk about Chase Young.
I thought he was
going to
come back and
years,
listen to it.
Probably is. Did you listen to last week's show, JQ, by the way? Did you listen to that a little bit of it?
I have not listened to it yet. I will.
We're giving you crazy shout-outs, man. It's all good. But so Chase Young, guys, 2 years after tearing his AC on his right knee, he's phone explosive. This guy's a 2020 number two overall pick. The team didn't actually pick up his fifth-year option, so he has a lot to prove this year. So we can talk about, you know, your thoughts this one. And obviously coming from your school, JQ, Ohio State, what's your thoughts? I know he was on a lot of training and, you know, they really didn't need him, right? That defense was pretty solid, even though they lost to Ron Payne. They're going to gamble a couple things. You know, Montez Sweat, I think he's coming into his deal as well. So the Commanders have a lot of decisions to make coming into the season here. So I'll let you go into that, talk about Chase Young, JQ.
Well, I mean, you know, as a Buckeye fan, I hope the best for him to bounce back, even though he ruined Joe Burrow's rookie season. In that game, but you know, I'm looking for him to bounce back. Sometimes it takes that second year, right, for you to get back to really where you were. I mean, the marvels of medicine can get you back on the field, but will it get you back on the field to where you were pre-injury? And I don't blame Washington for it. He's been injured, he's been nicked up, and you know, if he gets back to being who he needs to be, you can franchise him and work on a long-term deal then. But you know, again, I hope for him. For his sake, as a Buckeye fan, he gets where he needs to be and gets back to it. Don't know, you know, he didn't look that great. He's got to get, you know, back to playing, and he's got to play a whole season. If not a whole season, I understand there may be a game or two where you get nicked up and you may have to sit out, especially going to a 17-game season. But you know, I hope the reports are true. I hope Chase is looking good. But you know, sometimes you got to take everything you hear coming out of training camp with a grain of salt. You can hear about a running back being fantastic. He may not ever see the field. You take his ass in the 10th round of the fantasy draft and got it coming by week 3, right? So you gotta take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt. You know, you get some, you know, sometimes training camp is also lying season. But now, honestly, though, I hope that he bounces back for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys covered it well already. This is technically a contract year for him, right? So, I mean, this is the prove it year. Whether it's for the Commanders or for another organization, right? So this is a year that obviously he's hoping that he has a bounce-back year. got off to a tremendous start his rookie season. Looked like he was heading for an extremely bright future. Unfortunately, it's taken him a lot longer to recover from this knee injury than initially anticipated. All indications are he's light years ahead of where he was in training camp last year. So if you're a Commanders fan, you know, you obviously should be somewhat hopeful because if he is back, this team has an opportunity to have an elite defense. And so, I mean, obviously they're going with a young quarterback. We got Eric Bieniemy, an offensive coordinator, which I know we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And so, I mean, they have some weapons on offense, too. I mean, when you look at those receivers, Johan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. But it's all about the quarterback position. What are they going to get at the quarterback position? But if Chase Young is healthy defensively, they could be tremendous, which means they could win some games 20-14 or 20-17 possibly, if they're able to compete at a high level in a defensive end.
Terry McLaurin, Ohio State, baby. You get that right. You talk about the NFC, we talk about it. You know, there's room for growth in the NFC, right? Like, if you can get that defense back to where it is, you can make the playoffs and make a little noise. You know, it's not the AFC where it's so stacked. It's like, man, we talked about 10, 11 teams in the AFC we feel like can make the playoffs. I mean, you got, if we went down, I guess, you got the seven that you could probably name off, but it's not out of the realm of the possible that you can rise from that 11, 10 spot into that 7 spot or challenge for it in the NFC. So there's a lot of room for growth in the NFC. I just piggyback on that, Rob, that if he bounces back and he give that defense a jolt in the arm where they can win a couple of defensive struggles, they can make some noise. And we always talk about it. There's always a team that finishes out the playoffs, one or two, that come from the bottom and go to the top, especially playing, you know, a weaker schedule. So it's there for him if he can come back to being the chase that we know that he can be, that he was before the injury.
Yeah, if you look at the last 20 years in the NFL, it's been a trend here. Almost half the playoff teams every year didn't make it the year before, right? So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see anything different with this NFL season. We're going to have quite a few teams that make the playoffs this season that did not make the playoffs last season. I think we know who some of those players are. I'm not sure if the Commanders are one of those players, but they could possibly be, especially, like I said, they have Chase Young comes back and they have an elite defense. They have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Rivera is a good coach. He's a proven coach as well. You know, we'll see what Bieniemy does, you know, with that offense. But he's a proven coach, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, you know, most prognosticators right now have the Commanders finishing last place in that division. But you never know. That's why they play the games.
Yeah, and you get out underneath the shadow of that Dan Snyder BS. You have no idea what that does inside the building, right? Yeah. Having to deal with all the turmoil that he has, so getting him out of the way. Announcing a new owner who's already been out and about in the streets trying to get that fan base, who's one of the best fan bases in the NFL. They just didn't have a whole lot to cheer about. So we'll see if that has any effect on them as well.
And don't think those players are not excited, as you just mentioned, JQ. Even though Magic Johnson is not the majority owner, I mean, just having him as a part owner is going to get these guys excited. And they're going to fight tooth and nail for that guy. You know, I've had the opportunity to hear Magic Johnson speak on a couple of occasions. He is a tremendous motivational speaker. I know he get a hold of these players. These guys going to fight tooth and nail for him.
Great.
Good stuff. Still a little upset that Eric Bieniemy did not get a head coaching job, too. I'm still, you know, thinking a little disappointed about that, but, you know, I digress. And I know he got an offensive coordinator job with the Commanders, but hopefully this will turn for him coming into the season, too. Let's talk about the next.
And it didn't seem like a promotion for him.
No. He was the same OC with the
Chiefs.
Didn't
even seem like a lateral.
So not I don't know.
Well, the only thing I would say is I think so because that Washington offense was so bad in terms of their playmaking and their you know, creativity that I feel like he's got a chance to really put an imprint on it and be able to take that next level. It'd be really crazy if he went to the Chargers and they fired Brandon Staley. He'd be in the same division with the Chiefs. That would be wild. So he's got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, if they able to have an effective offense with Sam Howell at QB, yeah, then he should be getting head coaching jobs, no doubt about it.
Correct.
Now you're hoping they didn't set the brother up for failure, man, because, man, hell, JQ, Rob, myself, we can look great with Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback. But I'm just saying, that's just a tough situation, man. So I don't know.
And Andy Reid.
He's going to be coaching his ass off, man, for real, like you said, Robert Sam, man. So I don't know. I'm going to have to reserve judgment. That offense, you can't be winning. I know they got a great defense, but I'm just saying, if you win in 21 to 16 games, man, that's going to be tough, man.
It can't be any worse, Joey, than it was.
You're right,
so, I mean, you know, it's not like
Patrick
he's trying
Mahomes.
to.
Patrick Mahomes will make any one of us look good, no doubt about it. Even you, Dre, even with that play calling you had in flag football.
Uh-oh.
Man, we were moving the ball up and down the field, man. We had some great movement. The defense was pretty the defense wasn't man, I had money play. I called it more money play, man. They didn't know what to do, man. We went down the field. Jay was the quarterback. Man, beautiful.
Why are you getting that man stop
anybody? we couldn't stop anybody. That was a problem. One defensive guy couldn't speak English. Me and the what? That was bad. It was so bad.
Wow.
It was hilarious, man. Oh, man. That was for the experience, though. We were at the Georgia Dome. That was awesome, man. That was a great experience. Man. I'm like, hey, Rob, let's play flag football. It's like, all right, I'm in.
It was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We look like a bunch of scrubs out there, man.
we didn't know they got, like, semi-pro professionals to play this game. I'm like, well, what's going on over here? they were like ex football players. Like, oh, man. And we moved the ball on that first drive. That's all that matters, man. I'm going to hold on to that for this very day. That first drive, man,
that
we were able to – oh, man. We were making some plays, man. After that, they shut us down. They shut us down, but it was all good. Hey, let's talk about Kareem Hunt here. And this is a pretty interesting story in that I know – I was looking this up, right? I was looking at the actual – what happened in that. A nice little twist was that he was called by Indy to before he stepped foot on the field to work out with the Saints and then was offered more money. So it was like, what? But he had a great visit with the Saints, Rob. So then I know he left. There was an offer from the Colts, but – you know, apparently Kareem Hunt left. They did sign free agent running back Kenyon Drake last week. So I guess the question is, Drake, you know, Taylor and Hunt in there? And, you know, I don't know. We talked about Taylor may not be there. But, you know, JQ, we were texting back and forth. He may not want to be the fourth running back in New Orleans. But what say you about this, Rob? This is interesting.
Yeah, you know, yesterday morning, just about every media report said he was going to sign with the Saints, and then all of a sudden they said the coach, like you just mentioned, Dre, offered him more money right before the actual visit with the Saints. I mean, he still met with the Saints, but obviously his agent was saying, hey, we need to at least spend some time with the coach. They offer him more money, and, you know, let's see what happens there. But obviously there's no deal there. My assumption is, and this is only assumption, is that he still is looking for the right deal in the right situation, right? Because now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. They did sign Kenyon Drake. They did sign another running back today, actually, the coach did. And, you know, obviously the Saints are going to be without Kamara for the first 3 weeks, but they still have Jamal Williams, and they seem to be pretty high on Kendre Miller, a third-round pick out of TCU. As well. So where does he fit in that mix? And I think the Saints were looking at him as a fourth running back. And, you know, since they lost Kenu Benjamin for the year with a torn Achilles. So maybe he doesn't look at that as the right situation for him. So, we'll have to see. From what I hear, both the Saints and Colts are still in play for his services, but he still may be wanting to see what else may be out there. And he could be playing this the way Dalvin Cook is playing it too, right? You know, Dalvin Cook is in a little bit better situation, though. Dalvin Cook is actually going to get paid $2 million this year from the Vikings. And, you know, he's probably waiting to sign with somebody right before the season starts, right? And maybe that's the same thing. You know, these guys are possibly looking for other organizations that may be having some injuries at the running back position. Maybe Kareem Hunt wants to be still more of a featured back. And he had one of his lowest average yard per carry last year. I think he averaged like 3.8 yards a carry. still was pretty effective out of the backfield as far as catching the football, Kareem Hunt. But his average yard per carry was as low as last year. He's 28 years old. You know what that is like at the running back position. That's kind of like when they start to, you know, go in the other direction at that position. But I'm sure he still can help a ball club out, you know, in situations, right? Maybe 5-10 touches a game, something along those lines, but maybe not as a feature back at this point in his career.
And I think a piece of that is he's looking around, and, you know, I look at the Raiders, and then look at Josh Jacobson. He's talking about, you know, he's holding out. What do they do with him? They're talking about rescinding his franchise tag. If he done before, could you go there and step in there and be the feature back? We just talked about the Commanders. I mean, I think Antonio Gibson is better served as a change of pace third down back. The kid they got out of Alabama was okay, but he wasn't great. So that's another job. I think he could go in there and fill that void if he's the Kareem Hunt from a couple of years ago. So I think it's Kareem Hunt, to your point, Rob, just trying to find the best situation. And he might know something about Josh Jacobs. Because to me, I'm looking at that like, where does the carousel end where somebody doesn't already have the starting job? And Josh, of course, has that, the NFL the rushing leader last year, but he's so disgruntled and holding out that I don't know if they try to play hardball with him by signing Hunt and saying, well, sit out then, right? So he might have days, he might have his, you know, hands on the pulse on some other teams, but I told you, Kenyon Drake is also, to me, you know, he can't stay healthy if you give him the ball 20 times a game. So you can, depending on what goes on with Jonathan Taylor, you know, Indianapolis probably still in play. I was surprised that he was even visiting New Orleans after New Orleans got Jamal Williams. Because I feel like Jamal Williams could be that dude if you give him Kamara, or at least be Kamara's backup. And now he's only sitting there getting a handful of touches a game. He's not going to be happy with that. So I'm with you. And him and Dalvin Cook are probably like, man, I'm not going to go to training camp and burn these extra miles on my legs. I'm going to sit here and wait and see what happens and get into camp just enough long to be able to go off tackle left and off guard right. You know what I mean? Like, just throw me a swing pass, it'll be good, and I figure everything else out as the season goes along. So it probably is a piece of that, too, that I'm going to save these legs and not get hit for no reason.
Yeah, running back is one of the easiest positions for you to kind of jump in without, you know, and one of the easiest positions for you to learn the playbook, learn your role pretty quickly, regardless of, you know, what organization you go to. And both of those guys have been around long enough to where they could probably join a team a week or two before the season starts and jump right in and contribute.
As long as you can pass protect and keep that quarterback off the ground, you can come play.
You are wondering, though, like you said, if Jonathan
not turn the ball over.
Talk about, you know,
You
know, whispering in his ear, because Ursay has been an asshole as far as how he's been treating Taylor and stuff like that, too, you know. So, you know, you do wonder if that makes a little bit into his decision. But, you know, if for the sake of just going to a team that's going to run the ball, the Colts are going to run the ball because they have a young quarterback. If they go with Anthony Richardson, then he's going to get, like, a lot of, like you said, plays. But, like, you want to put that wear and tear on your body. So he can sit back and kind of look at the landscape and kind of pick and choose where he wants to go. This is the one time where it's kind of cool for running back to kind of make his decision, too, because I know they've been getting, like, a lot of challenging stuff in the offseason for sure. Let's talk about some NFL franchises here. So I guess, man, Gary's not here to talk about this. And, I don't think this was a surprise, but the Cowboys continue to top the list for the most valuable NFL franchises at $9.2 billion with a B, as they say, and with Austin Powers there. I don't know if there's any surprises that you guys saw on the list. I know the Giants were number two at $7 billion with a B. And, you know, even the Patriots, I was looking at this. I was like, man, it was interesting to see, you know, where everyone was at. I know I was kind of going in, kind of taking a peek at everything, you know. The 49ers at number five, you can look at the top five. Falcons come in at number 13 with $5.15 billion. The Saints are number 26 with $4.19 billion. And the Bengals, JQ, are – they're the last at the $4 billion. But that's not, you know, chump change, but, you know, just on the list, too. So that's where everything stands. I don't know if there's any surprises that you guys thought about this or anything in the comment or what.
No, dude. Nope. Only comment I have, I mean, obviously we're not surprised at who's number one, even though Dallas is not the largest market in the, you know, the U.S. You know, obviously New York is, and so it makes sense. It makes sense for the both the Giants and the Jets to be up there in the top six round. And Dallas is one of those franchises that just you either love them or you hate them. We just draw so much attention to them. You know, when you look at the ratings for their games obviously are the most high rated games of any team in the NFL. So they just attract a lot. Obviously, Dallas is a big market. And not so much even Dallas, but even the state of Texas. I mean, you go down to Austin, you
right.
go down to San Antonio, a good bit of Houston, a good bit of western Louisiana. You talk about Oklahoma. I mean, they have a huge range of a fan base. Yeah, yeah.
Mississippi.
Yeah, yep. The country folks in Mississippi. Yep, they root for the Cowboys, too. And, yeah,
yeah,
they root for the 49ers, too, and country folks in Mississippi. And, yeah, and probably in Fresno, too, the Jackson, Mississippi, California.
The damn folks.
They probably root for them, too. But no, in all seriousness. Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise. I think the thing that I'll highlight from this list is how far the Rams have climbed just by moving from St. Louis to L.A., back to L.A.
Yep.
Yep.
And that just shows you the value of big markets here, right? And, I mean, it. You know, you talk about Cincinnati, all of their success over the last few years, just them being a small market team, and they're still 32. And you look at how overall the Saints have been fairly successful since 2006, and they're a small market, but still 26 in the league. So it just shows you the value of a big market when you look at the value of these franchises. The Rams were in the 20s when they were in St. Louis. When I was just moving back to L.A., they all the way back up to number three. So that's just one thing I'll note from that list.
Yeah, I knew we was going to be last, so I didn't really care about this topic. This is a Gary topic.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, little side note. I don't know, have you gentlemen caught the show Netflix Quarterback? Have you been watching that, or do you have any interest for that at all? Or, no,
no, not
at all.
Got
but I do want to see it.
It's
no.
very, it's pretty good, unexpectedly good. I know, just to kind of see, like, a lot of the background stuff as far as what goes on the quarterback and just, you know, and I admit I've always been hard on Kirk Cousins, and I'm actually not as hard on the guy because he's showing another side of him, you know. So he has sports psychologists, and it's just kind of a different situation to kind of see them, you know, run a team, what they have to go through on a day and week-to-week basis too. So it's interesting how he's learning the playbook and just, you know, all these different things that are going. I mean, you know, we talk about whether hard knocks and little things like that, but this has a different side because it is definitely from the quarterback standpoint and seeing Patrick Mahomes. And whenever we were talking about that, Rob, I was thinking about, you know, small market teams and even – you know, as much as, you know, Patrick Mahomes is one, they're still like 19th on the list, you know, because they're a small market. But
yeah,
it is pretty interesting to see what's going on.
Another good point.
Behind the scenes. Yeah. Go ahead.
You look at the rest of this list, you look at a team like the Washington Commanders, and I don't think they've been good in 30 years. But yet
right.
they're still the most valuable franchise in the league. You look at the Chicago Bears, I don't think they've been successful since William the Fridge Perry. Was on the team,
God.
Right, in 1985, and they're number eight, but they have big markets, right? $6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the Eagles have had some success over the last 10 years. So, I mean, they're number nine, but, yeah, it's the value that a big market brings to your franchise.
Yep.
Speaking of the Bears, right in the next topic, can Justin Fields win the MVP this season? Go ahead, JQ.
No.
Hell no. Not now, but hell no. Listen, I root for Justin Fields to be. I'm just saying, I root for Justin Fields to be because I'm a homer. But he's still got leaps and bounds to go. His best pass is to follow that Jalen Hurts pass of when people said he couldn't throw, and he went back in the lab and made sure that he worked on that arm as well as his legs. You know the man can run. Dude can fly that run. He can burn. But to be successful long-term in the NFL, especially in this NFL, you got to be able to play from the pocket and make the passes you need to make, especially come playoff time. So I don't think he's quite ready to make that kind of leap to be the MVP, but I think he can be a better quarterback than he was last year to try to give him some more weapons, to get DJ Moore from Carolina, to give him a true number one. So we'll see how that works, but I just don't – I mean, even in a division where it's more winnable for him, I just don't think he's going to be to the point, you talking about the MVP to, like, knock off the Holmes and the Josh Allens and the Jalen Hurts of the world. Those are the guys you're talking about knocking off. I just don't see him making that kind of leap from last year to this year. So I'm just going to specifically say no.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny you make the Jalen Hurts comparison because I thought about that earlier, too. That's the best-case scenario for Justin Fields in his career to kind of follow that path, right? And you hope that he's, you know, studying his game as much as possible, too, because that definitely could be a good path for his career, take care of his body. I mean, he could make a lot of plays with his arms and his legs. I do think this Bears team has an opportunity to be one of those teams that improved by about 3 to 4 wins this year. They finished 3-14 last year. You know, I see their ceiling this year as being somewhere around 7-10. And I don't think they'll be better than that, but I think they have an opportunity to improve by about 3 or 4 wins. But that's the step you want to take, right? That's the step in the direction you want to go and then hope that next year they'll improve even more, right, if you're a Bears fan. So I see this as a team that's somewhere in that 6-11, 7-10 realm this year, and you'll see some slight improvement. You'll see a more competitive ball club. And Justin Fields is going to still, you know, strike fear in the defenses, right, because of what he can do in his leg. So I look at this as a team that's going to be improved. I don't look at them as a playoff team, but I see a team that's going to improve this year.
Agreed.
Good stuff. All right. Let's see here. This is an interesting next topic here as we dive into some current NFL coaches that will be Hall of Famers. And I'll let you take this topic, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously you got to start with Bill Belichick, right? I think he's won the most Super Bowls as a head coach in 6. So obviously I think when he calls it quits, you got to look at him as being a surefire Hall of Famer, right? I think the next guy that comes to mind for me would be Andy Reid. When you look at the success he's had, even with the Eagles, even though he never won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, he had a lot of success. They went to the playoffs almost every year, took them to the Super Bowl. And now he's won 2 Super Bowls with the Chiefs and has the opportunity to possibly even win more as well. So he will be the second guy that comes to mind. Mike Tomlin will be the third guy for me. Even though he's only won 1 Super Bowl, when you look at the longevity he's had as a head coach with the Steelers, he took him to another Super Bowl. Still has never had a losing season. So he'll be the second guy that comes to mind for me. And then the next three, I think the three that I just mentioned, I think are already surefire Hall of Famers. I think the next three are on a fringe, and that's Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, and Sean Payton. I think they still have to accomplish a little bit more before they become surefire Hall of Famers. Obviously, Pete Carroll's won a Super Bowl. He's been to another one and lost. He had some success with the Jets and the Patriots, so he has a chance, right? Especially if he can turn this Seattle team back in the right direction. John Harbaugh, he won a Super Bowl in 2013. He hasn't been back, but he's a fringe. Sean Payton, of course, won in 2009-2010 season, but he hasn't been back either since then. So I think depending on what he does with Denver, you know, he possibly can have an opportunity. So I think for me, Belichick, Reed, and Tomlin are already surefire Hall of Famers. I think Carroll, Harbaugh, and Payton are on the fringe.
Those are mine.
There it is. Good stuff. Let's talk about this. Again, we mentioned Eric Bieniemy earlier, and Eric Bieniemy. And, Rob, I want to – things never we were talking about this topic as far as the green light. The first one, I don't know if you're talking about him being intense, because I know there's been some concerns with the Commanders that he's too intense, and I want to make sure that we're on the same thing as far as the green light. Is it that, or like they're giving the green light to kind of do what, you know, Ron Rivera's like, hey, you do you, man, because that's what I'm thinking the topic. Well, I want to make sure I understand the topic that the way you're talking about as well, too. So go ahead, my guy.
Yeah, you heard that. You've heard some comments from Ron Rivera in regards to Eric Bieniemy. I think his initial comments kind of came off kind of concerning, but I think he's kind of come back and clarified himself a little bit. You know, he's actually all for Eric Bieniemy and his intensity. Obviously, some players had some concerns, But I think the players are now understanding where he's coming from. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, it's kind of, you know, being in leadership or being a coach or anything like that, you're always harder on your most talented people, right, because you're pushing them to be even greater than what they are. And I think that's what the players have come to realize what Eric Bieniemy is trying to get out of them. And so Ron Rivera is all for it, but he just had to get his players on board with it. So, in other words, I think Rivera is giving him the green light to really push that team because it's as we talked about earlier, defensively they have an opportunity to be really good. If they can be average team offensively, middle of the pack, I mean, this team not only has a chance to compete for a playoff spot, but, you know, who knows how far they can go if their defense turns out to be elite, right? You know, we've seen the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to be the Baltimore Ravens before anybody
hits me up
on Twitter or Facebook. I'm not saying this team is going to be the 2000 Baltimore Ravens or the 1985 Bears or basically or the 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right, in that defense. But basically what I'm saying is those teams had elite defenses with average quarterbacks. So, I mean, you could win. You can go a long way in this league if you have an elite defense. I mean, those teams had Trent Dilfer. Help me out, Brad Johnson and Jim McMahon as the quarterbacks.
Correct. Yeah, I was going to say, hold on, easy partner. But, yeah, the thing about it also is that, man, we sucked last year. We sucked for a couple of years. If you don't get your soft ass out there and go play some ball and learn this offense, what are you talking about? How do you even say that out loud? Like, if he didn't come in there and take over for another good OC for an offense that was ranked in the top 5 or the top 10 in the NFL. That was trash. I'm going to need y'all to be cool and learn this playbook and see what he just did. I mean, I understand that he's not solely responsible for what happened to Kansas City, but damn, he was in there. He has input and say, that kind of means something to you when you watch it from afar. Your ass is on the couch watching the playoffs. They in the playoffs. So I'm going to need y'all to stop complaining, for one. Yeah, Rivera had to come back and clean up that talk about him comparing to Jack Del Rio. It's wild. Another thing about it is that a good coach a lot of times will also, to your point, Rob, ride the hardest stretch because he set an example of if my best player can be coachable and listen to what I say and translate that to the field, then how can you, as the 25th best player trying to make this roster or be in the rotation, complain about my intensity? We need some intensity. We got to get back to being the Hawks. Like, this drives me nuts with these dudes making this kind of money to come out there and even say it. Don't even say it to your homeboy who might say it to a reporter. Don't say nothing. Take your ass in there and soak up what you can soak and try to be better and win some more football games and be cool. Like, you can only do so much in OTAs and training camps now anyway in the new CBA, so he can't really ride you that hard like they rolled people back in the 80s and 90s. You can't do that. You will get fines. You will lose practices. So how hard is he really riding you? So they got in there, it's a culture change, and that's what it's about. He's trying to change that culture and what they're doing offensively on that side of the ball, and I just need them to shut up and play ball. That's just, all right, shut up and dribble, shut up and play ball. Y'all suck. Get better.
Yep. That's a great point. I mean, you look at Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan, right? You know, Greg Popovich was hard on Tim Duncan, and Tim Duncan might be one of the top 5 or top 10 players in NBA history. Best power forward in NBA history for sure. But he was hard on him, right? But Tim Duncan received that coaching, and it allowed him to be hard on everybody else on that team, right? And so, I mean, that's a perfect example of why you're coaching your elite players at a high level, at a hard level.
Right. Oh, Chuck and Brady.
I want winners. Mm-hmm. I want winners. I want people who want to win.
You ready to go out there with 11, right, Andre?
What was that?
So you'd rather go out there with 10 players than 11, right?
That's right. I mean, 10 players than 11. That's right. Mike Singletary was
crazy. Mike Singletary
was crazy intense.
Mike Singletary.
That dude was crazy intense, man. Flutters. You're like, what the hell?
He said, if I can't find 11 guys that's going to go out there and compete, I'll go out there with 10.
Listen.
You know, Mike Singletary, you can't have 11 players. You can't have 11 players. So I'm just saying. I just want to let you know. Go ahead,
JK. Hey, listen, he won't do that, so I'm ready to go get it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to hear this topic really quickly because I got to talk about Derek Carr and about to lose the first NFL quarterback to lose to 31 teams. Go ahead, Rob. This is interesting, man. Go ahead, man.
I know I struggle with putting this on the topic, even though it's poking fun at my team here. So I figured I wouldn't be able to get a kick out of this, but hey, I'm fair. So I had to put it on the topic when I heard it. So so Derek Carr has actually lost to 30 of the 32 teams in the NFL. Of course, he's never lost to the Raiders because he played for the Raiders, right? But the only other team he's never lost to is the Carolina Panthers, and now with the Saints, he's got to play him twice. So if he wants to avoid being the first QB to lose to 31 teams, he's got to sweep Carolina this year. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So that's where it is.
Yeah, that's how you know you play on some shitty teams. Like, I mean, somebody can tell he's lost some games on himself that he's got on, but he's lost some games where his team is just not good, and that's how you lose to all the teams in the league. So I'm not gonna bash him too hard. It's easy to bash Carr, but you gotta have some bad teams to make that happen, bro. So you know that's just a product of playing with a franchise that is still not able to get back to their glory days. So yeah, that's rough. That's definitely happening. He's going to lose. He's going to split with the Panthers. I can't see him just sweeping the Panthers for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate you, Rob. We don't mean to make fun of you, man. I took some guts.
Hey,
I've
made fun
of on the topic, man. So it's all good. We got about 12 minutes here. I do want to get into a couple things here. I do want to talk briefly about the ACC expansion targets. And then also – we can kind of tie this into FSU once out of the ACC, but for them to get out, it's like $120 million buyout for them to get out of the, you know, that agreement. So who's going to pay that? You know, that's number one, you know, so that's going to be really, really hard to sell to get out of that, you know, so, you know, they can scream all they want, but, you know, unless they get something where the SEC is going to pay something, you know, I don't see that actually happening, but yeah. What is that, JQ? Bye? There's a door? What's that?
No, the Big Ten, and that's why they're saying that, because if you're the Big Ten, hear me out, if you're the Big Ten, the SEC doesn't need them for Florida because they have Florida. But if you're the Big Ten and you're watching, the only team to win a championship outside of the South really has been Ohio State in 2014. You got Clemson and Florida State, and it's all SEC. So if you're trying to break into that Southern stranglehold of let's get a team or two down South to where we have one in our league, and it helps us with our recruiting base of being able to say, hey, this team is in the Big Ten. I can see the Big Ten looking around and saying, you know what, Florida State's got a ton of tradition at this point. They got a damn sure got a ton of talent in the state of Florida. This behooves us to maybe try to get them and say at Clemson off that report that we heard talked about with them coming with Oregon and Washington. I'm not saying that's happening this year, but if you're the Big Ten, you don't want Florida State to go to the SEC. You would love for them, if they're not going to stay in the ACC, right, to come to the Big Ten and give you a foothold in the state of Florida. And they'll say whatever they want to say out loud, but behind closed doors, I know they look at each other and say, bro, we can get a team in Florida? You know what that would do for us in terms of the speed and trying to get, you know, we're going to recruit out of Florida anyway. All the big teams
right.
do, because Florida,
right.
California, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia,
Texas.
It's loaded with talent. But if you can get one in your conference, I think they would think about it. They make enough money to where paying that off for a year is not going to kill them to try to get them. So I don't know if that's on the horizon and are in the works behind the scenes, but I don't think the SEC needs Florida State. I think the Big Ten needs Florida State in terms just for that piece of it.
It's like $40 billion.
Well, I can tell you this, JQ. I can definitely, if it becomes doable for Florida State to get out of the ACC, I think it's going to be a dogfight between the Big Ten and the SEC. And I understand your point about the SEC don't want the Big Ten in Florida. And so they're going to do everything that they can. If it becomes available for Florida State to leave the ACC, I think both the Big Ten and the SEC are both going to be very aggressive about Florida State because – In hindsight, I don't think the SEC gains a lot by bringing Florida State to a conference, but
it's
they also don't want. Yeah, it's a keep away. They don't want the Big Ten in the SEC. They feel like that's their territory, and they definitely want to keep them. And And I think the selling point for the SEC is Florida State still got some natural rivalries in the SEC, too, when you look at Florida, when you look at some of their historic matchups against Auburn. LSU right now are playing, seasons, against each other, too, right
playing
now.
Playing Alabama.
So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I think if it becomes doable, I think this is one of those where the SEC still wants to stay a regional conference. You hear Greg Sankey speaks,
his shit talking ass.
I think if a Florida State comes available, I think that's the team that you'll see the SEC, make a run at. But also, I know they're going to have to fight off the Big Ten, too. I think that would be definitely a dogfight here.
The thing about it is you're going to find out how much pull Florida has. But Florida doesn't want Florida State in the SEC. Florida has the state of Florida in the SEC all to themselves. I don't think they want Florida State or Miami. Even if we get to these power 18, 20 conferences, they want to keep it. They say, hey, the SEC is us in Florida. So we go find out. I've heard that for years, that Florida does not want Florida State in the SEC. For that reason, that's reason alone. So you go find out how much pull Florida has.
Money in the conference always wins. Texas A&M didn't want Texas in the SEC. And lo and behold, Texas is in the conference. We talked about USC didn't want Oregon in the conference. Guess what? Oregon's going to be in the Big Ten, right? So, and it's just one of those things, right? In the end, Florida is going to do what's best for the conference, just like Texas A&M did. Texas A&M didn't want Texas, but they eventually joined everybody else and voted them in. And
Texas
A&M
ain't Florida. Texas
A&M
ain't Florida. Texas A&M ain't Florida. That's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying. They're a tier below Florida. I know Florida's on a little bit of a downswing, but Florida is still Florida. With all that chopping and that bullshit, Florida's still Florida.
That's how big USC is, and they got overridden too, right?
I hear what you're saying. I think it's interesting theater is all I'm going to get at. I think you're right. It's a dogfight between those two where the Big Ten needs and the SEC just don't want them to have it.
Yeah. And, we're talking about the rest of the ACC. It sounds like Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, and North Carolina State are all on board at the moment with keeping the ACC intact, right? And but if Florida State leaves, you best believe that those four teams will probably be trying to exit as well, right? I think they're all for keeping the conference together right now and keeping Florida State. But if Florida State leaves, you best believe that you could see North Carolina State, Clemson, Miami, and probably even Virginia getting out of the ACC. I can tell you this, the SEC and the Big Ten wants Virginia and North Carolina. They want those two states, both of those two, because neither one of them have presence in those two states. So I can tell you those are two schools, even though they not, as big as Clemson and Florida State, it's from a football standpoint. They want it from a market standpoint. So they definitely will be interested in North Carolina and Virginia from a market standpoint. It sounds like the Cal and Stanford and SMU to the ACC is getting a roadblock tonight. But it sounds like Notre Dame is pushing for the ACC to add Stanford and Cal. So obviously Notre Dame's got a lot of clout, even though they are a partial member of the ACC. They're in the ACC in every sport except football, but obviously Notre Dame carries a lot of clout. But supposedly they hit a roadblock tonight on possibly adding Stanford, Cal, and SMU.
Listen, you just said it. But if you're those schools and you got Notre Dame, does that push Notre Dame out of independent status to the ACC? Because if you're those ACC schools and you still keep it, your seat at the Power 5 conference table, the ACC is still a much easier route to get into the playoffs, even with it being expanded and then joining that loaded-ass Big Ten in the SEC. So if I'm them, I'm talking to Notre Dame like, hey, man, it's time for y'all to pull up or shut up. Y'all need to join the conference. We already 9/10 of the way there. Y'all need to get here because it behooves all of us to keep the ACC intact so we have our chance to get into the dance, because the Big Ten and the SEC is getting ready to just take that shit over.
Yeah, if Notre Dame goes to the ACC, you better believe they're going to get a new TV contract. Florida State's going to be happy. They get Cal, they get Stanford. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Stanford probably has one of the most prolific athletic programs in the country.
They've won more national championships than anybody.
I know they're struggling in football right now, but they've had success on the football field. But they've also had success in a lot of other sports, too. So, I mean, you're talking a prolific athletic program and an elite academic institution as well. So, I mean, I was surprised the Big Ten didn't take Cal and Stanford, to be honest with you. I thought I could see Washington State and Oregon State, but I thought Cal and Stanford were worth taking, in my opinion. And I think
that big area market.
I think they're still the two elite schools for anybody to take, whether that's the ACC, Big Ten, SEC. But I think there's still two elite schools to look at, even though they've just been struggling on the football field of late.
And that's the thing. Football is king. It's so short-sighted. They're like, oh, y'all suck at football. We don't want you. Like, damn, they stiff cows in Stanford. Jesus.
Hold on, my guy. We're going to get you really quickly for the OT, Naj. You all right, man? You all right, Naj? I know you're paying attention to us, man. You good, man?
Yeah. Y'all do your thing, man. I'm listening. I'm good. I'm rolling up and listening.
All right, hold on. This is OT. Then we'll
What's
get
up,
you in the next 5 minutes there. Good, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great live edition of Talk of Sports with the 12th Man. We apologize for the tardy. We got some new things we're working on for you all. We're working on a Facebook Live for you guys so you can see us live in person and video. So stay tuned as we work out the technical issues, and hopefully we'll be having that for you guys in a couple of weeks. But next week we're going to be back on. I'm not sure what night. It's going to be either Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for people on the East Coast. How about that National League East, the Phillies, Braves? You know, we want to hear from y'all on next week in Atlanta and Philadelphia. In the Central Time Zone, Chicago, what about those Cubs? Those Italian sausages and that pizza, deep dish pizza. So it'll be 10 o'clock Central Time for you guys.
What about Tim Anderson
Chicago.
Getting knocked out?
Yeah, we want to hear about Tim Anderson getting knocked out too. So Chicago,
well,
he's
squared up
all
too.
Oh, he squared up like he's about to do something.
Get knocked out.
Got knocked out.
You got knocked out.
Mountain Time Zone is going to be 9 p.m. And hey, West Coast, 8 p.m. Oregon State fans, Washington State, all 10 of fans of you guys. We want to hear from y'all on where conference you guys are going to be in.
No.
Next. Corvallis, Oregon, and whatever city Washington State's in. We want to hear from y'all on next week. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
He said, I'll tell y'all, man, you ain't no good. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I feel bad for them, bro. They are going to be out there struggling. Ooh. We appreciate y'all listening to us. That's funny, though. I'll tell y'all.
That's funny. Naj, what's up, man? I don't know. I know we were kind of talking about a lot. If you want to get your thoughts, man. We kind of went a little tangent there, man. But what you got for us?
Oh, give me a minute, man.
He has the floor. I was going to say this really quickly. About the last thing. I was actually surprised with ACC and SMU because now we think about how great the state of Texas is. That's actually a good look, too, if they can get SMU for the ACC, too, man. So, again, you talked about Cal. Robbie talked about, obviously, Stanford. So that would be – I don't know why there's roadblocks to add into the ACC right now. I know there's probably some money issues or things like that, but I think it's a great pickup.
Yeah.
But then also adding SMU was like a situation where I'm like, man – that's actually a pretty good
one,
too, as far as getting the state of Texas, as you mentioned, too. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know what's bad about this for the Pac-12 is the Pac-12, when Texas and Oklahoma a few years back initially said they were leaving to go to the SEC, the Pac-12 had an opportunity to benefit more than any other conference. Texas Tech, if they would have gotten an invitation, they would have left. If Oklahoma State got an invitation to go to Pac-12, they would have left. If SMU would have got an invitation to go to the Pac-12, all of those schools were ready for the Pac-12 to come in and snatch them up, and the Pac-12 did not move fast enough. And so I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know if it's the president, the commissioner.
Yep.
But the Pac-12, the conference has been around since 1915. Oregon was an original member since 1915. Washington since 1915. They had an opportunity. Those three schools and possibly more were all ready to go to the Pac-12, and they would have salvaged that conference just from having that Texas presence alone, even though it wouldn't have been Texas and not Texas A&M, but Texas is such a huge presence. They could have salvaged that conference, but no, they got lazy, and then next thing you know, USC and UCLA was out, and it just snowballed effect ever since then. And now, you know, people are asking why the ACC is interested in SMU. SMU has probably some of the most wealthiest donors in the country. They're building some state-of-the-art facilities, and a lot of people forget before the death penalty in the 80s, SMU was an elite football program.
Pony Express,
baby. That's right.
Yeah.
Pony Express. Ray James,
Eric Dickerson. And this is, you know, possibly a sleeping giant, but, you know, obviously they still got a long way to go. But it's definitely they have some history of some success as a football program. And they are in the Metroplex of Dallas-Fort Worth as well.
It's wild, right? Like, we were going to kill the Pac-12, like you said, 5-10 years ago, and it just was reversed so fast from the Pac-12 being gone. But what's happened, my dude, to Arizona State, talking shit about the Big 12 already. Did you hear him? He said, oh, man, I ain't going to no damn Morgantown. I'm going to send my assistant to Morgantown. I'm just going to go see the other big dogs. I'm going to go to those games. And the other schools are already like, hey, man, what? You just got in the conference, and you talking shit already about not going to Morgantown and put down the team? I said, come on, Arizona State Chancellor. You can't get on TV and say no shit like that.
Yeah.
Funny.
But, you know, a lot of times we look at this from a football perspective, but, you know, when you think about the other sports, you know, football and basketball, a lot of those teams fly on charters, right? But when you look at the volleyball team, when you look at the track and field team, when you look at the golf team, you know, these teams fly coach and fly in cross country, and they still got to make it to class. I mean, that's rough.
Stop it. They're going to get them on the Zoom and take care of them, and they're going to send a dude with them to help them out. That's so overblown. That's so 1982. That is not the way it's going to work. They got so much money. They're going to make sure they got multiple tutors and ways to get in contact with student assistants and all that. Like, let's not get so carried away. They're gonna be okay.
Almost sound like an eagle flying all over the country.
I love it. But it will be hard for family members, though. Yeah, but that's true about the Zoom and the meetings and students and things of that nature. But it's not going to be easy for those family members.
But, dog, that's not school.
Not for
that. School is being on the quad with your classmates. School is going to see the speakers, having first experience on this and that and the third, and you're basically giving up that experience. Now, with that said, this is the greatest time in college football history. Do you know how many front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey, name people I get to laugh at and just call out for the hypocrisy? Because this is what it is. This is big-time semi-pro football and basketball, and I want to see it. And I want to see the players get paid even more, so I'm loving all of this. Now, for all you mid-tier conferences and schools, this is the last bag because you ain't getting another one. Super conference is coming next. Some of these conferences right now should probably write the name in pencil. Matter of fact, don't do all that printing up of materials and goods because ACC, Big Ten, SEC, all these things we've grown up with, those things will no longer exist. It's almost time, baby. Super conference. Let's get it.
I don't know. I think the Big Ten can have 15. I think can have 24 teams. They'll still call themselves the Big Ten. Like that name recognition brand. I hear what you're saying in terms of where teams are, schools are in terms of being geography and where they'll be. But I think they'll keep those names. But yeah, you're right. And I feel bad for those smaller schools because if you got 20 teams, 22 teams in the conference, do you really have to go out? Are you gonna go out there and play those, you know, Florida A&Ms of the world, right? To give them that $2 million game that helps fund that athletic department. What happens with that? Because you're going to be so much pressure to play just in conference because you have now so many members. What do you do with that? So that piece of it I worry about the most. Those division, you know, 1AA or whatever they call it now, too, that may not be able to get that big payday that funds the whole athletic department because we don't really need we can't anymore. You know, we got to compete against everybody else in these mega conferences. Can we afford to play Prairie View? You know what I mean? Like, I got to play somebody good
for 11, 12 weeks to make sure I get in this playoff and we keep this revenue, you know, in our bag. So I wonder how that's going to work moving forward when we eventually get to these 2022 team conferences. Because I'm with you. That shit is coming. Facts.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. And look, man, the smaller teams that I just talked about, the ones who won't be in the Super Conference, all of the things that they tell us that matter, well, this will be your time to show and prove. It'll be bus rides instead of flights. It'll be really regional competition, and you'll be playing against each other with all these rivalries. And that three-star kid who normally wouldn't get a look, now all of a sudden he's starting. So all of the, you know, NCAA propaganda we had to ingest all of our lives, this is where they could show that, you know, there is some truth to it on a smaller scale. So, you know what I mean? It can happen. That's all I'm saying. Like, regional sports are good to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be an enjoyable thing for people who aren't interested in winning chips.
No, I agree. It's just for those small schools, like for the, like you said, for the golf team and the swim team that get funded by their football team going out there and getting murdered by Alabama 51-3. If those games no longer exist and they don't get that check, what is happens to those student athletes in the non-marquee, you know, sports that we don't really see, where you watching ESPN, the Ocho to find that game? You know what I mean? Like, I worry about those and how that affects it. I don't know if they'll bargain that into it in the sake of, you know, amateurism and keeping them afloat, but that's the one thing that may be a killer as a byproduct of it. But we don't know that yet. I don't know if they'll still schedule those first three games of the year where they play cream puffs to get themselves ready. I just don't know how you're going to be able to justify that when you have these mega conferences where everybody else is getting themselves murdered every week and you playing Presbyterian. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because you're
are you a man
so
or you're
taking in so much, you have to have big-time games. So you're going to play on the road Super Conference games against each other as far as your conferences and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some rivalry stuff, you might entertain some of that, but besides that, you know, them other places aren't going to matter. And no matter what, like, you just brought up SMU. Why is SMU a factor? The state of Texas is big as hell, and TV ratings mean more than anything, TV markets. So if there's access to a market and you can get your foot in the door, they're going to do it. So SMU, University of Houston, they're going to be much bigger players going forward than they should be, but because, you know, they're in Texas, and those TV markets are possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you
great.
Look at the SEC just by having Texas. I mean, they're going to have their SEC media days in Dallas next year. Already.
Right.
And just like the Big Ten is going to Los Angeles now, right? So you got the SEC going to have their media days. Their first year Texas is joining the conference, they're going to have their media days in Dallas next year in Big D. And the Big 12 is going to have theirs in Dallas next year, too. So the SEC is going in their backyard to have their media day on next year. So, I mean, it's just that exposure.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible to put up a fence. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're right. And I was just going to circle back to what you said, Rob, about the Cal and Stanford thing in the Bay Area, why so much trepidation and people are pussyfooting around, adding up to both of you guys' comments about the media market, that Bay Area market, you know, with San Francisco and Oakland and San Jose and Santa Clara and all that money, that they aren't, nobody has counseled on that yet. So I'm really interested to, is Cal and Stanford overplaying their hands or what they're asking for at the negotiations? So these conferences are like, nah, I'm good. But you know what this big old market available to me.
Yeah. You know, the Big Ten, even SEC, I know they want to play a regional conference, but to me, the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and the Big 12 should be looking at Stanford and Cal. Because at some point, both of those two schools have a chance to rebuild their football programs. I mean, when David Shaw was the coach at Stanford, I mean, he had a good thing going for about 5, 6, 7, 8 years there, winning Pac-12 championships, going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been able to recruit. They had Andrew Luck at quarterback there for a while. They've had success. When you look at the history of that program, John Elway at the quarterback position. So it's definitely a school that's had some football success. Cal has been hit or miss. Cal's had some good basketball teams. When you look at Jason Kidd and you look at what's the kid from Marietta, Georgia?
Jalen Brown.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim went over there to play on Cal. They've had some really good basketball teams out there with a lot of good exposure, too. So And you're talking about the Bay Area, one of the five largest markets in the United States,
right?
As well,
and
you're talking about all of Northern California, and including Central California, Fresno, right? The Jackson, Mississippi, California, that area,
okay.
Really follows
you
that,
Fresno,
that Northern Bay Area.
But he's right though. The ratings are possibly there, and. Dude, there's things beyond sports that exist here. We've had trouble trying to get bullet trains and the idea of trains as a way of transportation in America becoming a big thing. This is something that could kind of tip the scale to where people start advocating for it. You imagine a whole fan base for Nebraska or Oregon or whatever on a train to whatever city. Like, dude, there are ways to monetize this that we haven't even thought of, that they probably already laid out and are planning to set up. Like, this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be crazy for a while, but this is going to be beautiful, man, once this is fully fleshed out. Like, just think about all this extra stuff that's coming. Look, if you are in one of these cities, you need a new hotel. You know, so you have to upgrade your local stuff because you want people to come there and eat and stay at your hotel and all. Like, dude, this is going to be a huge injection in the arm for a lot of America just because we just had to dance around this and play the student-athlete game all of the time. And now we're just getting to what it really is, semi-pro. Let's get it.
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, from a fan perspective, I mean, you got to Nigel's point, you got to love it, right? Because watching Ohio State against Indiana is like watching paint dry. But watching Ohio State against Oregon and watching Ohio State against USC, watching Ohio State against Washington, in addition to Michigan and Penn State, I mean, now you got some excitement now, right? Just like the SEC, right? When you got LSU, Bama, Tennessee, now you had Texas and Oklahoma in the mix, and with Georgia and those teams. So, I mean, you got some national, really, some really good matchups now. I mean, we don't want to see Nebraska against Iowa, right? You know,
nobody wants to see that.
I'd rather eat corn.
Nobody wants to see that shit. But to your point about it, like the Big Ten went and got Rutgers for the New York market, and nobody wants to watch Rutgers play anybody in any fucking sense. But they did it so they can get to New York market. So why not go get Cal Stanford for the Bay Area market? Like, I just don't understand that. Nobody wants to watch Rutgers in nothing. Nobody said, you know what, bro? Let's go to the bar and watch Rutgers play Illinois. Never. Never said it. Never said it.
I can't.
Dude,
I can't.
There are friends of ours who we know who will not be leaving. Look, you're going to see them Friday, and then you're going to see them Monday. They're not leaving the house. Saturday, all day, mega games. And then Sunday, they're going to be in the NFL. Dude, some of these people are not leaving the crib, bro.
True.
Are they going to be traveling?
Like, 28%. Let me throw $200 in this DoorDash. Stop.
That's how it's going to make up. DoorDash, freaking Uber Eats, man, they're going to be like living large, man. Amazon, anything, man. Any delivery. JK, you want to talk about Gene Smith, anything like that, really quickly, or no?
I mean, you know, he did a lot. I mean, I think Ohio State and Texas are like 1 and 2. I think late in the last couple in terms of athletic department budgets, he oversaw plenty of playoff games, won championship. I love you, Gene Smith, and what he's helped do for Ohio State and the Big Ten too as well. So shout out to that brother. Go enjoy the retirement. But I don't feel like he's gonna always be away. He can't help it. That's just who he is. But you know how it is. They just need a little break, and I'll consult. So you know. Huge props to Gene Smith and what he helped Ohio State do at the AD. So, you know, good luck to him in retirement.
I was just going to say, really quickly, San Diego State, man, they failed, man. Their Power 5 league failed, man, miserably, man. Hey, guys, let's see the leftovers.
Anybody listening to the goddamn Aztec? They said, so is San Diego State. I'll get out of here, bro. Come on, man.
Hello? San Diego who?
Yeah, you trying to do
what? That's like the girlfriend.
I feel bad for
him. Get the hell out of here.
Because you still have the San Diego and the L.A. market they can try to bring into it, but San Diego State just don't have that kind of cachet to make that happen, bro.
No, not at all.
Big fan.
Marshall Faulk ain't walking through that door.
Marshall Faulk.
Marshall? And it's going to be good to see the power dynamic get flipped, too, because once all of this starts and the dominoes really fall and we get these super conferences, all of a sudden the rabbit has the gun. And not only does the NCAA have to jump when they say jump, but at a certain point they just can say, we don't want to be a part of your organization anymore. We're going to create our own.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the NCAA goes back to what it was supposed to be originally. And that big building in Indianapolis, yeah, that has to go. All those facilities and all these people you were paying out of the kitty from the sweat equity of these athletes, all that has
not
to go.
Not out of the kitty.
The NCAA dies.
And I think that you're also going to see here with these super conferences, I know Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, was talking about this. He said, we expanded to 12 teams for the college football playoffs before the merger of these super conferences. Now with these super conferences, you almost got to consider expanding the playoff even more, right? Because all these teams are going to be beating up on each other in the regular season. And so, you know, you almost can make a case that, you know, going to a 16-team playoff where nobody gets a bye might be the way to go when you're down the road, because you got to look at these teams beating up on each other now in the regular season. So you're going to see teams in the playoffs with 2 and 3 losses on occasions, right? That's going
that's
to the playoffs now. And then here's another thing
Amazon
here.
And all the streamers, yes, sir.
Yeah. And so here's the other thing here. If I'm not mistaken, the top 6 conferences, the champions automatically going to make it to the playoffs, right? So that's like 6 wild cards that gets into the playoffs under the new playoff that's going to start, not this season, but next season. So think about this.
I hate that.
When next season starts, there's not going to be a Pac-12 conference, right? So now you got the Big 12, ACC, Big 10, and SEC. Who are those other 2 conferences? Mountain West and AAC now. So those 6 champions, it was supposed to be the 5 Power Fives and the best non-Power Five conference champion gets the 6 automatic berths, right? And the other 6 would be wild cards. Now the AAC and the Mountain West champions are going to get a berth into the playoffs because the Pac-12 is not going to be there any longer.
Right. You
but
know they're not
going to
let that
big
happen,
boys going to back.
It's already in writing until they change it.
And they are going to change it because what they're going to say is not all conferences are created the same. I am not going to let the AAC and the Mountain West take an automatic day and leave out LSU and Penn State, who will mop both of those teams. They're not going to let it happen. I can't see it. I would be shocked. I would go on here and say, Rob, you are the man. You was right. I just don't believe those dudes from those 4 power conferences are going to allow that to happen. I just can't see it.
Tulane.
Imagine a one-loss LSU team, AD
being left out
frothing at the mouth.
Well,
one-loss because
not going to be left out, so they're going to get a wild card. Mm-hmm.
You know what he means?
No. I'm just saying, to tear it down, there's always going to be an SEC team who has a great argument because strength schedule, who they play, what they put on the field, and dude, the money's just going to talk, man. And those little guys, I'm sorry, man. This is how it goes.
Yeah, you're gonna throw the Big Ten in there too now with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC, Washington, Oregon, and when you look at those 6 programs, and then you look at Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Auburn on occasionally, Texas A&M. So
Right, dude. I just go back.
They're
going to
eat up the wild card.
Said a couple years ago. Right, that's what I'm saying. I just go back to what John Skipper said a couple years ago. He said TV markets and how you travel. That means more than anything.
Yep.
So if you're Boise State, I'm sorry, you and your little alumni base, y'all don't have enough.
And your punk ass move field. We ain't going to do it.
Yep. We didn't talk about that game yet. What you got about that?
And let's get into the Notre Dame pimping situation. Man, they're going to have their fans buying the pay-per-view on Patreon or Cash App to watch the game. Like, Notre Dame is playing the game at the highest level. We're not going to join a conference, but we'll have a passive partnership and see how things play out. But, again, the streaming services are going to come into play because Amazon is throwing money around like crazy, and that's going to add another layer to this. And like you said, with the playoff, man, they ain't accepting what's there. They negotiating for the next deal. And he just talked about the SEC commissioner kind of, you know, kicking it around. He sounds polite and like a well-dressed gentleman just giving a speech, but that's actually a threat. That's Michael Corleone on the microphone right there.
I know we're wrapping up, too. And it's interesting because all these streaming deals, like, you know, Apple was trying to come in and make some play on certain things, and you talk about that knowledge with Amazon. So I'm curious as far as what's going to happen with a lot of these conferences, too, a lot of these things, too, because, you know, we'll keep an eye on what's happening with the streaming services, and Apple is going to try to get in there, and, you know, Amazon, like you said, too, man. So I'm very curious to see what happens. Obviously, you know, the bigger networks, too, but, yeah, these deals are
going to change. That's what ultimately kills the Pac-12. You know, you got to have 25-year-old athletic directors and chancellors to buy into these streaming deals right now. But these guys are 65 and 70 and 60 years old. They want old-school TV. That's what they want right now. They want that old-school TV, and that's what killed the Pac-12 because of the commissioner was trying to sell them on an Apple streaming deal. And they just couldn't visualize the benefit of that for their recruiting purposes, right? And so that ultimately is what killed the Pac-12. Yeah,
right.
You know, you got to be talking to 25-year-olds for that.
Big facts. Matter of fact, Messi stole all their money. Since they didn't take it, Messi took all the money. So now Messi's down there playing against the children, scoring 9 goals a game. So,
On that note, gentlemen,
Mbappe might be a billionaire in one season.
I'm talking about Mbappe, too. JQ, have a great birthday, my guy. I'll hit you up on Friday.
Appreciate
you. Some happy birthday love, man. I know we'll have anniversary the next
birthday,
day, too,
bro.
Man. So, but, yeah, man, I don't get into too much trouble, man.
Thanks, sir.
Enjoy your day, man. All right, gentlemen, we'll see you guys. Same
we
time.
Overdue to get together. We'll have to make it happen, too.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
See y'all later, man.
Peace.
Good night, people.